you this morning. Gee, for God is good. Gee, for God is great. I want to ask you this morning as we come to continue on this journey through discovering. Make sure there's not a microphone on. There's some buzzing here. On what a safe person is. What a safe church could be. And how to look out for dangerous people and to navigate throughout life. And Jesus says they will be known by love, right? You know my disciples by their love. And if we don't love safely, if we're not safe people, we're not fulfilling what Jesus has called us. But in Matthew chapter 12, I want to begin by reading in verse 33. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Matthew 12, verse 33, and it reads, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Wow, that's a convicting and a gripping passage of Scripture. You say, well, what does this have to do with love and safe people? Some of us have been in situations in our life where we continued to enable an unsafe situation or an unsafe person to have control over our lives. And usually what happens is that we will in our minds justify and hope that tomorrow that person will change, but they never really do. Because Jesus said what is in the heart is what's going to come out. What kind of fruit they have hanging on their tree is what's on the inside. And so that's who they are. And I want to, first of all, say it's okay to label, but it's okay to recognize and acknowledge that somebody might be in your life that is dangerous. And you don't have to justify, you don't have to cover for them, you don't have to try to hide the fact that their fruit just isn't that good. And I want to give you the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and the empowerment of God's Word as we go through this. Jesus said, "You'll out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And we're going to give account for every word that we speak. And boy, have I said a lot of worthless, dumb words. Have I said a lot of unsafe things to people. But I want you to know, the more we have Jesus Christ in our life, the more we hunger for Him. If we hunger for Him more than we hunger for the physical food on earth, that Jesus Christ is our bread of life, we hunger more for Him, we long for Him, we cultivate that relationship with Him, pretty soon there's going to be some different kind of fruit that's going to start popping out of our lives. And so as we go through Scriptures and we look at these dynamics of what a safe person is, a couple of weeks ago we went through page one. I'm just going to read those quickly just for a catch-up. But a safe person is someone who influences me to be the person that God intended to be. Not who they want me to be, not what religion thinks they should be, but the person that God intended them to be. So, what are the traits of dangerous people? One, we talked about last week, an unsafe person is opposed to your spiritual growth and healing. Why? Because they want to maintain control over your life. Safe people celebrate change for the better in your life. Number two, an unsafe person resists your need for relationship. They avoid closeness and vulnerability. So, if there's someone like that in your life, they're probably going to be unsafe. When you open up and you become vulnerable, do they move closer to you, or do they move further from you? Number three, an unsafe person does not like to admit their weakness. They'll hide their weaknesses and they'll focus on your weakness. Safe people are always willing to admit that they have problems. If there's somebody that just seems a little bit too good to be true, they probably are. Because a person that walks in humility, recognizing God's grace in their life, is not always bringing about an air that they have everything all put together and that they're perfect and that they're somehow on this status level that they can put other people down. There's self-righteous people. Jesus called those kind of people, even in this passage, the Pharisees, snakes. He called them snakes, brood of vipers. He called them out for what their fruit bears. And so let's make sure that we are that vulnerable kind of person and that the people that we get into the deepest relationships with in our life, that they are also going to be willing to admit their weaknesses. And never align yourself under leadership under someone that thinks that they have it all together, because that would be a cult leader. They practice all these sins on the side and then they present this, that they have power and control over you and that they can just tell you what to do. That they're esteemed above everybody else. They walk in and everybody bows down or looks down, kind of thing. And that's not a safe person to follow. An unsafe person is religious instead of spiritual. And what do we mean by that? They know all the Bible terms to use. In fact, they use the Bible to control you. And anything that's preached, they basically say, well, that's for brother so-and-so, and that's for brother so-and-so. They twist the Bible. They use the Bible to point out faults. They use it as a cutting sword to hurt other people rather than a relationship with God. Safe people are humble and are focused on their personal relationship with Jesus. And number five, unsafe person is defensive. They're insecure for receiving criticism or feedback. They get angry when they're confronted, and they're not willing to take responsibility for their actions. So unsafe people are defensive. Safe people have a desire to grow. They want to have feedback from each other closest to them so that they can take ownership of their actions. Number six, an unsafe person apologizes without ever changing their behavior. Safe people make real behavior modifications, not because they feel they have to, but because they truly want to honor Jesus Christ, to help themselves and help others. Now let's focus on what we haven't covered today. Number seven, an unsafe person avoids facing their issues. So we're going to focus on this in the last two pages today. An unsafe people or a person avoids facing their issues. In other words, they blame others for their problems. They treat others with lack of empathy. They look for faults. They refuse to forgive other people's mistakes. They avoid facing issues. They hold grudges in their heart. Whereas safe people take responsibility for their own issues and forgive others for their issues. Jesus says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you do not notice the big log that's in your own eyes?" And I really find that scripture kind of humorous, you know, because we're like that in our homes sometimes, aren't we? We can look at somebody, and I can look at Tanya, and I can say, well, you do this just a little bit wrong or a little bit off, and all the while I'm stumbling along blind because I have a big log in my eye. It's unsafe people have logs in their eye, but they're always finding faults in others. And they hold grudges. Something that you wronged them 20 years ago, or 5 years ago, or 3 years ago, they hold it against you, and they have an inability to forgive. And so in order for us to become safe people, we have to become forgiving people. We have to be the people that are willing to let go and take responsibility for our own issues in our life. Number eight, unsafe people flatter you instead of talking to you. Now, we're not talking about someone who's positive and that gives kind words. We all need positive encouragement in our life. In fact, there ought to be a whole lot of that going on in the body of Christ. Positive feedback to one another. But if someone is always, almost always flattering you, there's something wrong. There's something really wrong. So they will only tell you good points without being concerned enough to tell you the truth. and they're more concerned with keeping you liking them. And all the while they want to contain that control over your life. It says, faithful are the wounds of the friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Safe people seek to please God rather than other people. So the way to be a safe person is to say, no longer I'm going to be a people pleaser anymore. You know, and that doesn't mean we treat people unkindly and we say, wow, you got something really big on your face, and we laugh at them or something like that. But that we are honest with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, if I say, you know what, every Sunday I'm going to get up and do special music and I'm going to sing special music every Sunday, and I get up there and I'm Amazing Grace and all the dogs down the holler start to bark and everything like that, which one of you are going to love me enough and say, Mike? Oh, Rob, thank you. Thank you, Bruce. I have some friends in here. I have some friends that are safe that really love me. But he's the pastor. A safe person is not always full of flattery. Oh, and here we go back to that word on Paul, because, baby, you do all this so well all the while, you know, that as if that's going to cover over all the mental and emotional and verbal abuse and the threats and things like that that happen. Unsafe people flatter. Safe people please God than others. Number 9, unsafe people demand your trust instead of earning it. They want you to trust them right away without taking time to build the relationship. They act hurt or defensive if you don't trust them right now. So young people, especially when you start dating somebody, you don't have to trust them the first week. Well, I gave you a chocolate. You should trust me. I gave you flowers, baby, didn't I? Didn't I give you a ride to church? I've only known you for a week. It takes time to build trust. And someone that demands trust right away without building the foundation of a relationship, friends, girlfriends, boyfriends, if they're demanding your trust within the first week, there's going to be something wrong. You have danger. There's danger. Warning, warning, warning. People have to earn your trust. Especially boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, if you're in dating relationships, they have to earn your trust. Safe people earn your trust over time. Number 10, unsafe people lie. They use deceit as a way of dealing with problems. They tell you one thing, and then they do another. Oh, he's just so good to me. No, he's not. She's not. If she says one thing and then does another consistently all the time. They make promises they know they cannot or will not keep just to get you off their back. I promise, next time, when I say I'm going to be home at this time, I will. I promise, next time, I'll love you and put you above playing basketball, honey. Next time, I promise. But when next time comes around and it doesn't happen, you need to realize that the fruit on the tree is rotten and there's something bad on the inside. People lie. They do surface things to make you think that they're are changing in their lives. You know, that would be like somebody, you give them a chance, an opportunity to get some change, and especially parents dealing with your kids, and they know exactly, they were raised with you, so know that these kids, they know exactly how to manipulate you. They do. They're experts at it, so you have to be careful. Because you might say, oh, just because you have such a high hope for this person, for their life to change, oh, they sent me a verse today. I can think of family members back home in Michigan that one was getting involved in some things he shouldn't have, into drugs and things like that. Oh, he went to church this last Sunday. That doesn't mean diddly squat. You know, people lie, people deceive. They know how to make you think that they're changing when they're really not. The actions show that they're really not changing. They're unsafe. They're manipulators. They're liars. And they will destroy your life and your family's life. And so we're going to talk about a little bit here how to put some boundaries in place. Save people carefully, weigh their words, and they let their yes be yes and their no be no. Jesus was serious when he said, let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than that comes from evil. Do you believe that? Oh. Anything more than, yes, I'm going to do that, and they follow through and do it. Yes, I'm going to do that, they don't follow through and do it. It comes from evil. It comes from the devil. And it's going to destroy your life, and it's also going to destroy their life if we keep enabling that person. It doesn't give them a chance to grasp a hold of God and understand the truth. When we continue and refuse to set boundaries, when someone's yes is not yes, no is not no. Jesus says it comes from evil. Amen? Do you believe that? Get that in your hearts. Young people, get that in your hearts. Anything that people say and it's not a yes or a no, and they don't follow through with it, it comes from evil. Danger. 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 All right. Now this one's a big one, and I would say this is the biggest one that many of us have dealt with in our lives, whether we were the ones doing the abusing, which I think in some cases we all have, because we all have sin in our lives. But 11, unsaved people are expert abusers and manipulators. They study your weaknesses and use them against you. They seek to hinder or cripple your abilities to perform daily tasks so they can control you. They make you believe you're incapable of doing things without them and that you could not live life without them. Folks, this might sound crazy, but this is so common today. I hear this all the time, where people and wives and even husbands and kids are in a position where they believe that they're just not capable of surviving without their abuser. I want to let you know, if you're in a case of mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional abuse, you don't have to be crippled by that. You don't have to believe the lie that you can't be the woman or the man that God wants you to be. You're His sons and daughters. You know, I've seen husbands literally cripple their wives, and to the point where they make them go everywhere where they go, and because they're insecure, and they basically don't let them drive either, or don't let them go out on their own, so pretty soon they don't know how to drive, and then they feel like, oh, I can't drive, and I can't do this, and I can't do that, and so then the husband has complete control over the wife. I've seen that. But that's not you, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Because you don't have to take the abuse. They know just how to tell you what you want to hear. Here's another one, they throw temper tantrums until they get their way. You do something out of your own independence because it's something you want to do, and they want you to do something else, and they say, man, somebody, oh sorry, that's Bruce's music, but or there's the sulkers. They go sit in their room and I'm going to punish you by not talking to you. I didn't get my way. You didn't do what I wanted to do. And so they will try this act of punishing you, threatening you, until you do what they want you to do. No! You don't have to. You're a person created in the image of God. Amen? Safe people never, ever use any form of physical, verbal, emotional, spiritual, sexual, mental advantage of you or control you. Now, I want you to listen carefully to this verse. If you forget everything, remember this verse, because these are the words of truth, the words of God. He says, make no friendship. There's no wiggle room here. He says, no wiggle room. Listen, there's no wiggle room in this verse. Is there any way, do you see any wiggle room there? He says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, nor go with the wrathful man, lest you learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Folks, young people, you have to realize when you align yourself with someone that throws temper tantrums to manipulate and destroy your life, you're going to become like ensnared, like in a mouse trap, only it's going to be a human-sized trap. And it's going to be hard to get out of it, and it's going to get harder and harder to get out of it, except for the mercy and grace of God to come and deliver and give you victory. You don't have to take it. Unsaved people, the last point I want to make today, they don't grow. They never seem to make any improvements in their life. They get angry and abusive towards those that do change because it makes them look bad. Honey, don't go to church today. Nah, I don't want you to go to church because it makes me look bad. They won't come out and say that, but they discourage you from growing and doing spiritual things. They get angry and abusive to those that change. Saved people are always humbly pursuing growth and change in their life. And those are the kind of friends that you want to look for. The friends that are saying, I want to grow and I want to change and I want to better my life. If that's not even on their radar, and they might have some problems. Does anybody in here have problems? Is there anyone in here that's a perfect friend without problems? The difference is here is that we are willing to grow and to change. I'm a problem person, but I'm willing to work on it. I have issues in my life, but I'm willing to. But if that person is not willing to work on it or admit it, there has to be some boundaries put in place. Now, I want to ask or look at this. Why are we as humans drawn to stay with dangerous people? I've done that many times in my life. Why are we drawn to stay with dangerous people? There's some very good reasons, and if you identify those and understand those young people and adults, you'll be better off. Why are we drawn to abusive people? Number one, we live in fear because of past threats and abuse. Proverbs 29:25 says, "The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe." So that's one reason when we stay in abusive relationships, is that we fear the threats of the past. Number two is maybe we just haven't had any good examples of safe people in our life. As a matter of fact, sometimes because we're so drawn to the dangerous people that we miss out on the safe person that has been doing something for us, that's been loving on us and been reaching out to us, and we kind of just shun them and we're like, we ignore them and we go to the person that's going to keep hurting us over and over and over again. I want to encourage you, it doesn't matter what age it is that you find somebody in the church, in God's church, not even just this local church, but God's wider church, that is safe. So you can say, oh, that's what it looks like. If you have difficulty in your home because you've had a bad experience with a mom or dad or a stepmom or a stepdad that has done some horrible things to you, look for a healthy mother and a father in the church. As I believe that God has called us as a church to be that. So be encouraged to do that. Find those people. Get around them as much as you possibly can so that you can learn what it's like to be around safe people. Because once you do, I can guarantee you it's going to feel good. And you say, why in the world did I stay and not instigate and put some boundaries in place? And here's a big one. We only feel comfortable with what we're used to. We only feel comfortable. So if you grew up, for instance, being verbally abused, then you're going to be drawn into relationships that are verbally abusive. I had some history and issues in my growing up and family, and guess what? I'm drawn to the people that are just like the environment that I grew up in, until one day I realized and say, wait a minute, I don't have to do this. Someone that criticizes my every moment, everything that I say and everything that I do, that criticizes and gossips about everybody else at church and this sort of thing, and that has this air that I'm better than everybody else and that sort of thing. I don't have to do that. And this is the problem. We go to what we're used to. But Proverbs says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Number four, we live by our desire, and we touched on this earlier, that we wish people to be rather than who they really are. This is called false hope. Everybody say, false hope. You know, no matter how much you love that son, that daughter, that mother, that father, that stepdad, that stepmom, that whatever situation that you're in, if the fruit is bad, by you catering to them, their behavior, by you continuing to enable them, basically, you're just living in false hope. Because it's not till boundaries are in place can they even have a chance of seeing their need for change. So we basically say, I want something good to happen even though there is absolutely no basis for it. Yeah, this guy has treated me so bad over and over and over again. But he'll change tomorrow. He promised me today he's going to change. Tomorrow comes, he doesn't change. Jesus says, what's in the heart is what the fruit is that's going to come out. Number five, we make judgments on people that hurt us in our past. You know, like, My dad did some things, or my mom did some things, and I say, I'm never going to be like my mom and dad, and I hold bitterness and a grudge in my heart. Guess what I do? I become just like my mom or my dad. So, unforgiveness from our past. And this is one of the keys to being set free from abuse, is to begin to forgive the abuser. Because while you're holding a grudge, that's holding you in a snare. It's holding you in a prison. As the Word says, we have to forgive. Now, in closing today, say, Pastor Mike, I can identify a dangerous person. Now, there's a lot of points there. And I want to encourage you, don't just say, oh, that was great, these points were good, but I want you to take them home and I want you to begin to put them into practice now. I want you to begin to think about them. I want you to begin to look at God's Word and those Scriptures and say, am I a saved person? How does God's Word say I can become a saved? Am I in an abusive situation? And now we're going to talk about that. If we are, how do we protect ourselves from dangerous people? Number one, I want you to know, realize that God is close to those that are hurting. Don't raise your hands, but have you been hurt by an abuser in your past? Or by someone that's an unsafe, dangerous person? A friend or a family member? The first step is acknowledging that the Lord is near, it says in Psalms, to the brokenhearted, and He saves the crushed in spirit. No one else around you may be able to understand the struggle that you're going through in your life right now, but God does. In fact, well, it seems that a lot of other people in your life have tried to walk away from you when you're trying to deal with your hurt and pain. It says the Lord draws near to you. Isn't that good? God draws near to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. And the second thing is that we have to admit that there's a problem. Even though you might love someone, if they are dangerous, they're dangerous. It's okay to recognize the truth. And don't think, and I think in some of our religious circles we've kind of had this idea as to sweep things under the rug. Well, that's not Christian. But if the fruit is bad, the fruit is bad. Jesus didn't have a problem with calling the fruit bad. Now we have to be careful that we're not sitting in judgment and we're doing so out of a heart of love and forgiveness. We're going to talk about that. But number three, confront the problem. And this is where we get hung up because we fear. We've been threatened. We fear losing some. What if they leave me? What if they walk out on me? What if they yell at me? What if they do this or do that? But Matthew 18, it gives a clear passage of how we're supposed to confront any kinds of threats, of violence, sexual abuse. But if you're a young person, if you're a minor, if you are in a home or in a place where you don't feel safe physically, where your life is in danger physically, you need to right away talk to a pastor or a friend or a teacher about that. Because that's, as a child, is not something that you can face alone. But Jesus says, if someone causes you to stumble, He says, go and tell it to everybody, right? Matthew 18 says that you first go to the person. So if Tanya has had a trouble with an attitude that I had during the day and I said something rude to her in the morning, she can come and tell you, all right? Not yet. She could come to me and say, Mike, Michael, and I won't say all her pet names that she'll say to me. You really hurt me when you said that. And if I just say, well, I don't care, I forget about it. Then what? Chances are, when you go and confront your abuser, if they've been doing it long enough, they'll just say, oh, I'll change, I promise, and then they don't change. Or they might just get angry at you and just not acknowledge what you're saying, your feelings. Then what can I do? Well, then what can Tanya do? She can say, okay, well, there's other people living in the house that heard the comment. Michael, or Mom. Then two of them can come and talk to me. Say, Michael, this can't go on. This can't continue. This is not good. If my heart is still hard, then Tanya can say, go to the leaders of the church and say, there's a continuous problem at home. You know why a lot of pastors end up in bad situations? And it's because the church is not safe for the pastor's wife. But anyways, that's a side note. But what I'm saying here is that you have all these people that you could go to as the final level of confronting somebody. And I always say from the pulpit, if we find out, men especially, that you are abusing your wife or your children, there's going to be a knock on your door with a posse of men from the church. We will protect God's children. God put this in place. So, level one, go to the person. Level two, bring another person. Level three, tell it to the whole church, and then if they still don't repent, you put them out of the church. You basically put them under discipline or say, you know, if you don't get counseling, if you don't get this help that you need, we're not going to talk to you anymore. We're going to move your wife somewhere safe. We're going to move your children somewhere safe. This is the way it has to be. So don't be afraid to use this, even as a young person, to use this plan. The next thing is make sure you take responsibility for your own actions and forgive the dangerous person. That's so important, because if you're not living in forgiveness, this isn't going to work. You have to live in forgiveness. And then here's what I want to focus on, is put some boundaries in place. So keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. It's okay to say no and be assertive, as we just said in Matthew, let your no be no, let your yes be yes. Seek God's will for you and redefine your own separate identity. Your identity doesn't have to be attached to someone else. God made you your own person. So, let me ask you this. If someone in your home, I'll just ask the young people, continues to call you names and continues to hit you, what can you do? What would putting a boundary in place look like? Anybody know? Anybody have any ideas? So let's help them out here. What would a boundary look like if someone in your home, it could be a brother or sister, is continuing to call you names and hit you? What would you do? What boundaries can you put in place? Yes. Yes, you confront. You say, I don't like this. I don't want that. And that doesn't mean hit them back or call them names back. That's not a boundary. A boundary is saying, I do not like this. I do not want this. And then if you're in a situation where they just continue to do it, and chances are, if it's siblings or brothers, say, I'm going to remove myself from this situation if you continue to do it. But we're playing video games. No, I am going to remove myself from this situation. And for those of you that maybe can't leave from a house or a home, you can get on a phone. I know we all have cell phones. You can get on the internet and you can contact somebody from the church or a trusted family member to come and get you and to remove you out of that situation. You have the freedom to do that. You have the power. Everybody over here be able to dial a phone? Everybody knows how to use a phone. Amen. They know. Use it. Because you know, when you put those boundaries in place, that abusive person is going to think twice the next time that they do it. Now, here's the key to being successful in a boundary, is that you don't get angry. It could be a situation at home where I just say some snide remark. We're sitting in the living room and watching TV, and I say something, and Tanya will say, I'm no longer going to watch TV with you, and she's going to go in another room. Well, that's going to make me think twice, because there's no way I can keep her in the room to watch TV and enjoy it, right? And she's already set a boundary. She's going to walk in the other room. But let's just say that she's in the other room, and I come in and say, hey, would you like to have dinner? She's not going to hold a grudge at me for what I've said in the living room. She's going to just go on and act like nothing's happened until I do it again. Then she'll remove herself from the situation. Does that make sense to everybody? You can, with your words, set a boundary without getting angry. And guess what? These people are going to get very angry and upset at you. Don't play into the anger. Don't play into it. That's what they want. The temper tantrum people that go and pout and they go, oh, I'm sorry. We'll go out and play ball with you, and even though we're so tired and we're not feeling very well today, and just to make them feel better. Just don't do it. Ignore. Don't yell at them. Don't call them names. Don't get angry yourself. But just state your boundary and going on being happy. Don't allow them to rob you of your happiness that day. And that's the problem. That's what a lot of people do, is that they allow the temper tantrums and the anger and the voice and the calling names to get to them. And then pretty soon you're in this big fight. You don't have to fight. You just have to state your boundary, remove yourself from the situation, and continue to do that and continue to love that person as if nothing happened. That's the calling of a forgiving saint. And continue to love the dangerous person and keep the boundaries. Don't hold a grudge. Pray for yourself and the dangerous person and get in a community with safe people and seek them out. So I want to encourage you. I want you all in here, especially youth and kids, young people, to find a healthy mom and a healthy dad, a healthy grandma and a healthy grandma in this church. Seek them out. As a matter of fact, there's visions and there's talk of what we could do and be as a church, is that every family will adopt some child and take them home every Sunday for dinner after church. That's my hopes, that eventually we'll put a program like that in place, that we could do that. Because we are your family. We love you. And because we're trying to grow in Jesus Christ, we're trying to become more healthy, this will be a good thing. So I want you to start praying, who's going to be my church dad and my church mom? And you know, it takes a little bit of initiation from you, because sometimes we're a little bit intimidated and afraid, but sometimes you just need to come up and say, "Hey, can I come to your house for dinner today after church? I'm going to put you guys out of on the ice here. Anybody over here want to go to dinner after church with somebody from church today? Who will take Tim to dinner? It's okay. It's okay to ask. It's okay to get to know people, because it's one of the greatest things you can do. And I want to close with reading Psalms 140. Because if you don't pray for yourself and your abuser, Psalms 140 is a good prayer to pray when you get in a dangerous situation. I love this passage of Scripture. Psalms 140. And as we read this, I want to just ask if the worship team would come for our closing song today. It says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their heart and stir up wars continually." Sounds like a dangerous person to me. They're always trying to stir something up. "They make their tongue sharp as a serpent's." Well, see, Jesus called them snakes for a reason. "And under their lips is the venom of asps." That's another kind of snake. "Guard me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have planned to trip up my feet. The arrogant have hidden a trap for me, and with cords they have spread a net beside the way. They have set snares for me." And what snares are we talking about? The fear of man, the threats, the manipulation and control, the anger. "I say to the Lord, You are my God. Give ear to my voice of my pleas for mercy, O Lord. O Lord, O Lord, my Lord, the strength of my salvation. You have covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further their evil plot. They will be exalted. As for the head of those who surround me, let the mischief of their lips overwhelm them. Let burning coals fall upon their head. Let them be cast into fires." You know, that reminds me of a verse in the New Testament where it says that we don't repay evil with evil, we repay evil with good. It heaps burning coals of fire. So we put our boundary in place and we continue to love them as nothing happened. It's repaying evil with good, with love, but yet being firm in our boundaries. "Into miry pits no more to rise. Let not the slanderer be established in the land. Let evil hunt down the violent man speedily. I know the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted, and He will execute justice for the needy. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to Your name. The upright shall dwell in Your presence." So I want to encourage you, take Psalms 140 home today and throughout the coming weeks. Put your name in it instead of David, and let that be you talking to God. So as we sing this song in closing, I'm going to pray. And if you would like prayer, you say, "You know what? I want to become a safe person. Come down for prayer." Or if you've been in a situation where you've been hurt and you say, "You know what? Today I want to resolve to put some boundaries in place. I want to resolve from getting out of the snare of the snake that's been crippling my spiritual life, that's been crippling my life. And I want to do what honors and pleases God." Father, I just pray this morning that every person would be touched with the fire of Your Spirit, that the words of this message would go deep into our hearts today, that You would have Your way in our lives. Lord, I pray that You'd be with every man, woman, young person that has been hurt, that has been shamed, that has been abused, that's been taken advantage of. Lord, it says in Your Word, You're close to the brokenhearted, and I pray that You would draw near to each person. God, let Your love fill this room. Holy Spirit, fill this room with Your healing grace, with Your power. And Lord Jesus, I pray for the boldness, the meekness. That's humility, which means strength under control. Give us the strength under control, the strength to lay boundaries, but yet be tempered and under the control of Your Holy Spirit. Give us the grace to forgive. Jesus, we thank You for Your work on the cross that enables us to receive forgiveness and to give out forgiveness. And we acknowledge today that You've died on the cross for our sins and You've risen from the dead. We look to You as our Savior, as our Lord. We turn away from our way of living and we turn to You for our hope and our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing the song of worship.
The mystery of the cross I cannot comprehend. The agony of Calvary. You, the perfect Holy One, crushed Your Son, who drank the bitter cup reserved for me. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank You. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank You. Once Your enemy, now seated at Your table, Jesus, thank You. By Your perfect sacrifice I've been brought near. Your enemy You made Your friend. Pouring out the riches of Your glorious grace, Your mercy and Your kindness know no end. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank You. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank You. Once Your enemy, now seated at Your table, Jesus, thank You. Your blood has washed away my sin. Jesus, thank You. The Father's wrath completely satisfied. Jesus, thank You. Once Your enemy, now seated at Your table, Jesus, thank You. Jesus, thank You.